Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 35th Torino Film Festival. I'm in company of Graham Skipper, director of Sequence Breakers, screening here in the after-hour section. So welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So first of all, for our listeners, how would you describe a Sequence Breaker?
Sequence Break is the it is a love story between a guy and a girl and a evil sentient video arcade machine. It's a Cronenbergian love story that involves lots of slime, lots of bodily mutations and hallucinations and body horror. So if you like those things, then you'll like my movie.
Yeah, that's why I went to watch it, I have to say. So it was the first thing. Okay, arcade, okay, video games, okay, let's go. Why an analogic film then? Why this 80s atmosphere? And are you an antique as also your protagonist?
Yeah, I would say I'm an antique. You know, I wanted to explore a lot of themes of nostalgia. And especially right now, we see so many films and TV shows that are tackling themes of nostalgia, like Stranger Things that we're talking about. Yes, do not spoil it. And I think that a lot of the reason for that is because the people that are making cinema right now grew up during that time. And so we love it. It has a really important place in our hearts. And for me, I wanted to explore kind of the dark side of that, of when you can't move out of it, and when you are trapped in your own passion and trapped in your own hobby and trapped in your own past and you can't get out, how do you get out without destroying what you love? And that's a lot of the story of Sequence Break and some of the themes we wanted to play with.
Actually, so let's see if I got some metaphors right. I mean, in the film, the higher purpose is to break the sequence. And is that somehow like an advice that you give yourself? And it's a sort of a message of the film that you should not like follow the path that society is imposing you, like in a way, find your own way of...
You got it, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, for me, the idea of sequence breaking, which, for those that don't know, you know, to sequence break a video game is basically to, through some action or through some hacking of a code, you are able to beat the game prematurely. You're able to jump ahead, you know, like Super Mario running on the top of the bricks, you know, to get to the warp zone, stuff like that. And... for me, the idea of sequence breaking life is sort of like looking at things laterally, that sometimes you get so focused on, oh, I got to do this. You know, you get a job and then you get married and then you move up in your job and then you do this. And that's what society tells you to do. And sometimes when you get stuck in a rut, you can't figure out how to get ahead. You look at it from a different angle and then you're able to really achieve what you want to achieve.
In the film, the protagonist, her, she says everybody gets a hit moment. So do you really believe that? And what was the hit moment for you, if you can tell us?
100%. Yeah, I feel like I've had a couple of it moments in my life. I think that, you know, one of them was deciding where I wanted to go to theater school. It really set me on a path to meet people that became very important to me. It was with those people that I started my theater company in New York, and it was through those people that I met, you know, other people and that led me to LA and started me in horror films. You know, the idea of an it moment for me is when something hits you and you have a choice and you can either follow that path, even though maybe it's not the right one, it seems. Maybe it's one that shouldn't be, you know, that your logical mind says, oh, I shouldn't follow that. You know, or you decide, well, okay, I'm just going to go with the safe choice. And the it moment is when you choose to just go, okay, I'm going to do it. And then another it moment for me was literally deciding to make this movie. It's a scary prospect to make a feature film. It's very hard, and it's exciting and terrifying and wonderful. And I remember sitting one night, and I was sitting by myself, and I thought, am I going to do this? This is an it moment. Just do it. We're going to do it. And then we did it. Now I'm here, and I'm in Torino, Italy, and I'm like, whoa, okay, it was the right choice.
Was it the inevitable choice for you to choose like a genre film?
Yeah, I'm a huge genre fan. I'm a gigantic nerd. I've loved horror films all my life, and I've been very lucky to have cultivated a career as an actor in horror films. And so, you know, when the opportunity came to write and direct a film, you know, it was absolutely going to be in the genre. For me, personally, the genre, whether that be horror or sci-fi or fantasy or whatever, those are the movies that speak to me the best. And those are the movies that resonate with me. And so I want to make films like that for other people.
What are your influences? What you mentioned Cronenberg, obviously, but what are the others?
Other influences for Sequence Break specifically were Ken Russell's Altered States, Tetsuo's The Iron Man, the amazing film Beyond the Black Rainbow was a big influence on me. Those are some of the primary ones. Another huge influence aesthetically, honestly, were the films of Dario Argento. I've been a huge Argento fan my whole life, and my director of photography and I would often use Argento's lighting schemes as our sort of litmus test of, you know, if we would say, oh, should we make this green more green? We would say, what would Argento do? He would make this way more green. So we use that sort of fearlessness as our guide, and you know, I think it worked.
Do you think that this kind of films and like yours and the TV series like Stranger Things are slowly but changing the perception of the nerd world?
Oh, like, yeah,
in a positive sense.
Oh yeah, I mean, I remember when I was a kid and I had a Star Wars T-shirt. It was not a cool thing.
No.
and now, you know, you walk into, you know, an Urban Outfitters or, you know, I don't know what, you know, whatever you have over here. And it's like, oh, and they're selling designer Star Wars T-shirts. It's all changing. And I honestly think a huge reason for that is because the people that were the nerds growing up are now the successful ones. And they're the ones in charge. And they're going, hell yeah, I'm going to make a $300 million superhero movie. Why not? It's absolutely changing the landscape of it, and I love it. Bring me more. I mean, that's what I love.
One last question. Since you're an actor, why did you decide not to act in your film?
I don't know how people act in their own films. I thought about it for like half a second, and I went, there is no way that I'm going to be able to effectively direct my first time out, and also be a good actor. And I'm very fortunate to know Chase Williamson, who is, like, such an incredible actor and a great friend and was willing to dive into this with me. Maybe in the future I could figure out a way to direct myself. But this first time out, I wanted to give it my best job on all fronts. And so that's why I didn't.
Graham, good luck for Sequence Break.
Thank
here
you.
At the After Hours at the 35th Torino Film Festival. This is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.